I believe, a Perek Dalet, a few pages in, according to my note here. We're on page 122 in the Art Scroll. So I guess let's continue with that. So he says as follows: "V'kivin shepirashti ha'akdomos." He explained until now in the previous parak all the introductions, the hakdomos, the basic things that we need in order to even get to the concepts we have to understand and so forth to even get to developing bitochen. Asher ba'avuron yitochen habitochen min habiteach b'elokim yisaleh, that because of these, or together with these hakdomos, it's even possible to have bitochen in Hashem. You need certain things, otherwise it's even impossible. Hashem is all powerful and so forth, all these things. Yesh olai lismuch lehen pirush ofnei yosher habitochen. I should therefore connect with them the ways of of the proper bitochen. B'chol echod me'ashiva dvorim, in each one of the seven, asher bohem yiftach kol b'teach alikim b'al zulosei, that every b'teach could trust in Hashem or on someone else. In other words, if anyone you're trusting, echod echod, I'm going to explain one at a time. So now he's going to explain these hakdomas that he made and to explain to us how they interact, I guess, with the bitochen and make the bitochen possible. One of the first chelik, he said, there's bitochen when it comes to a person's body, his physical existence. So now he's going to give more of a focus and more detail on that, and then to see how it connects with bitochen. The heim chay of his life, umoisei, and his death, v'teref, mezoinoi, and the sustenance that he has, l'michyoso, in order to sustain himself, umalbushoi, his clothing, v'tirosoi, his house, his living quarters, situation, uvriyoso, and his health, v'cholio, and his sickness, umidoisev, and all his traits of character. For ofnei hayosher bibitochon alulakim b'chol inyamehem, and the ways of the proper, the straight bitochon on Hashem, on elikim, in all of these inyonim. And then he goes on, sheyashlich es nafshoi bohem lahalichos hanigzar asher gozer loy habaremehem. First item that he says, we're dealing now with my physical well-being, with my parnosa, with my health, with my clothing, my everything that I have, every aspect of my physical existence. He says the first concept involved is he throws his nefesh, he sort of surrenders his nefesh to the ways that were decreed, asher goza ha-habayir, that the Creator created for him. So I guess the first, the fundamental, the most, or the basic fundamental principle of bitochen is, the first thing I have to know is that I surrender myself to Hashem. He is the one who is gozer. He is the one who decrees what's going to be, what he wants, that's what will be, what he doesn't want, that won't be. He is in total control. And the truth of the matter is, it makes very much sense too, because if I don't realize that it's all big zerosoi, then why am I trusting him? Well, how can I even trust him? Because, no, he's all, it's not just he has power, he has all the power, has all the cards, so to speak. And therefore, I put my trust in him, and the trust is very appropriate because he is the one. The Yeda, Kiloi yigomer lo mehem elo mashe kodem bedas habire, shua nochen in yonov, he says he has to know that he will not end up with any of these things. Oh, I want parnos, I want a new house, I want this, my house, my home, my clothing, my existence, my car, whatever it may be. You're not going to end it. Elo, that which was previously, in other words, before you even enter in with what you want and what you don't, it was b'das ha'beir yishu anochin le'inyonov, that which is the best thing and the proper thing for our benefit and our ways, Olam hazeh uvolam haba. So just that concept alone. In other words, when I enter into the, I'm entering into the state of bitochon. I want to develop that state. I want to expand it. The first thing I have to know, everything is b'gzeiras kel elyon. My actions don't have any power. Nothing. No one has any power. It's only what Hashem is gozer, and I have to know that He is gozer. He will not do anything for me. It's only which is nochoin, which is the best, the appropriate way for my situation, both in this world and the next. And I think that's something that we have to pay a little bit of attention to. And I think it's a very significant comment. I may have mentioned this. I mentioned it in different contexts, though. I always advocate in teaching young people, students, even our children, we emphasize the benefits that a life of Torah and mitzvahs has in this world, not the next. The next world is the ultimate, and there's nothing like it in human imagination, afilu. But people today, you know, I think I must have mentioned here once, my grandmother was once burnt with a terrible pressure cooker exploded. She lay in bed for months. I remember hearing, oy, in Yenevelt, in Zainaziglichlich, in the next world, it's going to be such a happy place. I remember as a kid, I wasn't interested in waiting for the next world. You know, my generation was not instant gratification, but it was almost instant gratification. You know, we wanted pretty quickly, next world, that's too much. So Mimela, we talk about the benefits of this world. That's first, then this eternal. However, sometimes when there's disappointment, when there's challenges, when there's cholila, tragedy, we cannot satisfy the need to understand and the need to have it good and the need to deal with the issues of life unless there's also an understanding of Hashem does what's best for us in this world and in the next. And sometimes there's a trade-off. Sometimes in this world, if you have everything exactly the way you want it, it may be on the cheshbon of the next world. And therefore, we have to be very ready to recognize that Hashem not only is gozer in control of everything, but he also, we can be assured that he's doing the ultimate nochim, the ultimate good for us, with the consideration of the next world and this world. So the best, it's like they say, the best of both worlds we're getting. We're getting in this world good, but it's not compromising the good in the eternal world, and we're not going to compromise the good in this world for the eternal world. It's one big package, and Hashem is in control, and his goyes are on that. And that's the fundamental concept of emuna before we can even get to developing bitoch. Okay, then it goes on. The yoser toiv la'achrisoi, and even better than here, it'll be even better good later on. Shan hogas haberi loy bekulam shoveh. He says, Hashem doesn't deal with each person the same way. Which again, I would say that should be a very interesting halacha for us. You know, there's halacha v'halachta bidrochav. Mahu rachum, afato rachum. Mahu chanun, afato chanun. Mahu erech apayim. And the Rambam says, just as Hashem is known, is called by these names, merciful, kind, loving, truthful, and v'chule, forgiving. So too we should act in those ways. So we're enjoined by the Torah to emulate Hashem. It seems to me there's another emulation that he mentions here. It doesn't act with everybody the same way. I think that's an important lesson for parents, for teachers. Everybody's different. Just like no two faces are alike, so too nobody's thought processes and their midos and their personality, everybody is different. And therefore, everybody has to be dealt with a different way, and Hashem does that. No Bria in the world, no creation, has no Eitzah, doesn't have Eitzah thing to do. They want to do a piece of advice, and no action, no activity, only Birshus with the permission and the Gzeira and the Din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's a lot of talk with the Rishus, the permission, the Gzeira, which is decree, and the Din, I guess, that according to all the Dinim, this is appropriate for you. So the process of our receiving what we receive and what we want to receive and what we need to receive is so sophisticated. Hashem is involved, and he's involved, and he makes sure that everything is exactly the right measure, and anything, and no matter what it is that we do, there's no way we can get anything unless it sounds like three things: with his permission, with his decree, and with his din, that he feels in din, this is appropriate. So these are many conditions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, many considerations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu melds together to decide what has to be done for us. But we, if we wish to become Bali Bitochen, we must be aware of the fact that all of this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts the world, and therefore we have to connect to it accordingly. Just like a living creation doesn't control his life, his death, his sickness, his health, doesn't control. He says, just like we know we don't control our health, and it's a very beautiful concept, because our health, and we think, well, I control my health. Death, well, we can prolong life. Sickness, well, we have doctors, we have medication. Brioso, my health, okay. I exercise, I do this, I do all kinds of things. Kainain biyodom teref mizayne, says, just like we realize, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Now, the brioso, we know that we can't control it. We can't, just like we can't control our lives, our life, when we're going to live, when we're going to die, sickness or health. We don't have control over those things. We do things to help it along. We do things to prevent, but we really don't have control. The same thing, you don't have control in your parnosa, your sipukoi, and your satisfaction in your business or in your parnosa, ulevushoi, and the way you dress, ushar, and your negufay. Now, this really is a very strong statement. Basically, the Chovas HaLevav seems to feel it's necessary to tell us. We must realize everything comes from Hashem. He is b'gzeiras kel elyon, and you have absolutely no power. And just as you know, you don't have control over your life or your death or your sickness or your health, in the same token, and you might think, well, but I work. Oh, but I have an MBA, but I work very hard, but I put in extra hours, but I'm very sharp, but I make good investments. No. The sustenance and the food that you have to eat and the satiation that you get from all the things you need and your dress, your clothing, insurance, you only go for all these other things, they are not in your power. Just as we don't have the power over life and death, we don't have the power of anything. About parnosa, we think my work, that's my power, my brilliance, that's my power, my MBA, that's my power. No power, nothing. Just like we know we don't have power over living and dying, we don't have power over anything else that has to do with our ruchnius, that Hashem actually takes care of us, which makes it a very an easier thing to put our bitochen in, because we know that this is where it's at. You know, anytime we think that we have additional koichus, then it's hard to have bitochen. Bitochen has to be exclusive. I mentioned before, I'm sure, there was a year in Los Angeles where we had, those days was an awful lot of money, $500,000 sitting in a money market for 6 months or something like that. And I knew I couldn't daven that those 6 months. Because like this, every day I said, Hashem, I need 10, I need 15, I need 5, I need 20, I need whatever I needed. But today, I had the money in the bank. So, oh, no, listen, if you're not in the mood, I'll just write a check for the money market. And I can't. Everything, there's nothing, everything is in his power. We have no power. That's the first fundamental hakdoma to bitochen. The minute I think my hishtadlus, my toiches, even my bitochen, I have to be careful with. The God points that out. There's a very thin line between relying on my bitochen or relying on the chesed Hashem. David HaMelech said, "Vani b'chastecho b'tachti, not b'tchoincho, b'chastecho, in your chesed." And because of that, your daily b'bishua secha, my heart will rejoice. I know there will be a Yeshua because I trust it in your chesed. It comes from appreciation of Hashem's chesed and not from any concept that I know. Oh, I trust it. I have bitochen. Now it's going to happen. So that means you're trusting yourself. I had good bitochen, so it's going to happen because of my bitochen. It's all from Hashem.
Right. So Rebbe, we know that, and we've discussed that obviously for months. But it's being said very strongly now, and I'm not understanding how Hishtadlus fits into that, because then what's the point?
Okay, so in Hishtadlus, he discusses, of course, everything in the Chovas HaAvos is complicated. There's no easy paragraphs, or not too many. But the Beis HaLevi puts it very clearly, says, the Hishtadlus doesn't do anything. It's only that Hashem wants us to live in the physical world. He wants us not to rely on miracles. He wants us not to sit around, the Chovas HaHovas actually brings us to, not to sit around Yoshev Botel, because if we have nothing to do, we'll do bad things. Batola Mevi'a Lidei Shiamum. Person who has Batola has nothing to do. It ends up big, big trouble. So because of that, Hashem created a situation where there's an obligation to do Ishtadlus, unless we're on the highest level, like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. However, Ishtadlus doesn't do anything. The Beis HaLevi's Lashon is so dramatic. Hayishtadlus eino moil me'uma. It doesn't help a kiyuzeh. It doesn't help a drop. Because Hashem is the full provider. Hishtadlus is a mitzvah. Beis HaLevi shita is you should do Hishtadlus. So with Hishtadlus, you can have enough bitochen. You know, he says that, let's say if I have a small budget, so with a little bit less, a little bit of work, I could cover my budget. I have bitochen. If I have a massive budget, then I need much more hishtadlus in order to be able to be confident that I could cover it, because I'm not on that level where I could be like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, where I just totally bitochen without any hindrance. To me, if I have something, it's hard to have the bitochen. So, so the hishtadlus, we have to know, the hishtadlus is just going through the motions. That's why we do hishtadlus. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta says, because we're not supposed to rely on miracles. The Chazanish says that sometimes Ishtadlus is inappropriate because you can't do Ishtadlus of a Meyuish. You can't do Ishtadlus that a desperate person would do. Because if you show that you're desperate, then you're not relying on Hashem. So there's halochas about Ishtadlus, but those halochas, they're not because Ishtadlus does anything. The Ishtadlus does nothing. It's all about our susim. It's all about our bitochen. However, the Ishtadlus is a chiyuv that we have to do. So that's in brief, that's the best that I could say about that right now, but could be discussed further at a further date. Okay, so anyway, let's move on a little bit. Still have a few minutes. The imberor emunosoi, and with the clarity of this emunah, and this is very important to point out too. This, until now, we've been discussing today, is all together emunah, not bitochen. This is emunah. These are basics of emunah, the basics of Hashem and how he acts and how everything is big zeiras kel elyon and every aspect that we don't have any power and all this. That's not even bitochen, that's emunah. But emunah is the haktoba to bitochen. Emunah is necessary in order for a person to have bitochen. If a person doesn't believe in Hashem and his goodness and his kindness and his power, so who are you trusting? You can't really trust Hashem if you don't. But if you recognize, see who he is, then we could internalize it emotionally and actually be confident that Hashem is going to help us. So let's see what he says. With the clarity that he gets from his emunah, that everything is totally, it's mosur, it's all given over to Hashem and his gzeiros. And the way Hashem chooses to deal with him, he habechira hatoivo. That's the good way. Hashem will choose with us to deal with us properly in a good way. Still, he's obligated to roll this galgel. He rolls into doing his hishtadlus, you know, for his own benefit. And he chooses the good as it appears to him from this particular, he may be wrong, but this is asapira to him. In his limited vision, that's what he chooses. With a kim yase ma shekod ma boy, gzeirosa, but Hashem will still do that which is the gzeira from Hashem. Very important. So he now says this idea again, this ishtadlus, you were very on the mark. He says that there is an inyan of ishtadlus. Now we do have to do ishtadlus, but he says we have to know that of the ishtadlus that we're doing, Hashem does ma shekod b'boi v'gzeirosai. That which before then ishtadlus, maybe from Yom Kippur, maybe from who knows when, from Sheishis, maybe Bereishis, Hashem has decided what's going to happen, and that's what's going to happen. And the ishtadlus is just a mitzvah that Ralbag says, because the posuk says b'chol asher ta'aseh. You do everything with your actions, so therefore that's what ishtadlus is. So that's, but we should know that Hashem yase ma shekod b'boi gzeirosai. Let's see, he gives a comparison. Let's see what he says. Ki odom afopisha kitsoi umidas yomov kishurim bigzeras abirispa. Even though a person, his time, his amount of days that he has, his life on this world, is tied with the gzera of Hashem, yesh al the odom is galgil a sibas achai b'machul b'mishtu b'malbush u'lamoin kifit zorkoi. He says, even so, so, you know, my time in the world is fixed. All b'gzeras kelayim. So he says, but yet still, a person is involved in sibas achayim, in getting food, in having drink, in having clothing, in a place to live according to his needs. Lo yaniach ezeh alu elokim sheyomer im kodem b'gzeras aburi sheachya yishayer nafshi b'gufay mibli mozer kol yomei chayai. He doesn't say, listen, if Hashem wants me to live, I don't have to eat. I'll not eat my whole life. I'm not going to eat anything. Hashem's in control. Hashem wants me to live. Obviously, that's not the way Hashem wants it. He says, I'm not going to work to do anything to get what I need. I'm not going to go into any sakona. Because going into sakona, even with bitochen, is an inappropriate ishtadlus. And we're mechuyev to do ishtadlus, even though the ishtadlus has nothing to do with the result. The yishte same amos, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to drink poison. Bitochen and Hashem. I mean, that's ridiculous. Oh, she is sakim b'atzme lelochim imu'ari. I'm going to go fight a lion. B'achayus rois and other bad animals. Hashem will protect me. He says, no. Leloi doiche, without any being forced into it. I'm going to throw myself into a sea. I'll jump off the bridge. I'm going to throw myself into a fire. It says, these things where the person is not batuach, I'm throwing myself in. I don't have batuach 100%, but v'yisaki benavshe, he puts his nefesh, his life, in sakona. Ukvar his hironu hakosu mizeh b'mashe omar, the Torah has warned us, don't test Hashem. This is like I'm testing Hashem. I'm doing all these things. Let me see. And he won't be saved from this except for one of two things. So in other words, a person shouldn't take this attitude. Everything is from Hashem. Okay, I can do whatever I want now. I don't have to do ishtadlus. I could do a bad ishtadlus. I could jump off the roof. I could jump off the bridge. I could go into a fire. Says, no, that's not true. Everything is from Hashem, and we're not allowed. This is testing Hashem. You're going to do a thing and see, oh, see if Hashem protects me. We're not allowed to do that. And he has to know that Hashem is gezer, and we have to be mekayim. Oy sheyomus, or he may die. V'yehua meimis esas, then it's like he killed himself. Put himself in such a sakon, it's like he killed himself. When a person, it's very interesting, when a person murders himself, it's as if he murdered someone else. That's how it's considered. Maybe in this case only, I don't know. I don't know, he doesn't say, even though... Oh, even though he put someone, I'm not sure what this means. Even though, oh, in other words, he says he's going to be considered as if he murdered, if he doesn't do the hishtadlus that he's supposed to do. His name is Sasatsmai. And he says, because Chazal already told us that even if a person did someone, I'm not sure. I'm sorry. I have to leave this. It's confusing to me. Anyway, so all right. Let's see if there's a... No, then it gets another law. Okay, we'll have to stop over here. I'll try to look into this next time. A little bit confusing to me what he's saying. But the upshot is very clear that we have to have in mind constantly, if we want to have bitochen, has to be built on a firm bed, and he's not even finished with it yet. We'll have to continue, of emuna. Hashem's in control. Everything happens with gzeiras kel elyon. If Hashem doesn't want it, it's not going to happen. If he wants it, it will happen. He's in control of everything. And I have my responsibility to recognize that control and to realize that when I do hishtadlus, I'm just going through the motions. I'm doing it because it's a mitzvah, because I shouldn't sit around doing nothing, because Hashem doesn't want me to rely on miracles, whatever the reasons may be. But I'm not accomplishing anything. The accomplishment is kol kuloi, totally and completely in the Yad Hashem. When we have that concept, life is a different place. And I'd just like to end with something I mentioned probably a few years ago. I saw brought from the Arizal that when we say in Shmon Esrei, "Es Tzemach David Abducha, Ki Lishuoscho Kivinu Kol Hayom," for your Yeshua we have hoped the whole day long. So I think for the Arizal they say, "But person is mechaven Ki Lishuoscho Kivinu Kol," not just a specific problem that he has in front of him, but all of the problems, everything, my whole world, I'm constantly waiting for Hashem's Yeshua. I'm thinking for my parnos, I'm thinking for my family, I'm thinking for my health, I'm thinking for my vacation, I'm thinking for whatever it may be. And everything is Yeshuoscho Kivinu Kol Hayom. We're waiting and hoping for your Yeshua to help us with everything. He says that kavona can be a schus, that when you say those words, a person can actually be answered and benefit himself because of that sense of bitochen that he developed in the saying of those words.